From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. I am Justin Spears, as always. I will be your host for today. As Arizona heads into their second week of fall camp under Kevin Sumlin, we will be hearing from Michael Lev, Arizona Daily Star beat writer. He will be with us in just a moment to just break down his thoughts and notes that he took away from Arizona scrimmage over the weekend. And Arizona Daily Star sports editor, my boss, Ryan Finley, he will also join us to talk about Khalil Tate's Sports Illustrated cover, which was later discovered to be a present for his parents' 25th wedding anniversary. A pretty interesting gift, I say so myself. Don't forget to like the Wildcaster on Facebook. Give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram. And don't forget to download that free, yes, it is free, Wildcaster app available on the App Store and Google Play. Let's go ahead and cut to Michael and Ryan.
Let's go ahead and talk about some Arizona Wildcats football. Here with us is my colleague, Michael Lev from the Arizona Daily Star. Michael, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Justin. What's up, man?
Not much. You know, just living the dream as always. Had a great weekend watching the Arizona Wildcats and their scrimmage, even though we didn't get to watch much of it, only a drive and a half, really. But on Saturday's scrimmage, which was delayed because it's monsoon season, what were your biggest takeaways from the scrimmage as a whole?
Well, remember back in spring when we would talk about how the defense was ahead of the offense?
Yeah.
From the little bit we saw Saturday night, I feel like that's still the case. You know, specifically in the area of the defensive line versus the offensive line. You know, we saw, what, maybe 10 plays or so, but in that short period of time, we saw a defensive front that looked absolutely dominant and an offensive line that was struggling. And it kind of makes sense when you look at all the various factors. You have a lot more experience in that defensive front now. You have a lot more depth than what you had before. You figure that Fields, Schooler, Wilborn, all those guys are going to be better in year two. Meanwhile, on the offensive line, they lost a lot of guys. Veteran guys like Jacob Alsadek and, Gerhard DeBeer and Christian Betcher. And then you add to that the fact that Nathan Eldridge doesn't seem to be able to practice. Whatever, you know, issues he had with his knees or his legs from the spring seem to have lingered here into summer camp. And plus, you know, Leif Frak is not going with the ones right now because they know he's not going to be available for week one. So, you know, those five guys I just named, Justin, that's your entire offensive line from last year, basically.
Yeah.
The only other guy who got a significant run was Cody Creason, who split time with DeBeer at right tackle. And from what we saw, like, you know, Kylan Wilborn was kind of having his way with Creason on that side of the line. So a lot of work to be done with that offensive front. I think that's going to be the critical kind of focal point for the Wildcats over these next 3 weeks.
Yeah, the offensive line, and you bring up a great point. I was just about to talk about that. My biggest concern is, you know, who's going to play center, because Nathan Eldridge, who is put on the Remington Trophy Award watch list, which is an award given to college football's best center, Eldridge was put on that watch list. And then you go out to practice, and he's nowhere to be found. Robert Conjol from Texas A&M, who's a transfer, they had him getting some run at center, and they're acting like he's going to be eligible, although Kevin Sumlin said it's all pending. But looking at the offensive line, not only was Conjol getting some reps, but like you said, Leif Frick was not running with the ones, and Michael Elatise, we looked at him, and there was a couple times where he wasn't even in the starting lineup. So the offensive line looks very inconsistent in terms of rotation. We talked about cornerback being the biggest concern. Could offensive line possibly be the next biggest concern for Arizona going into this season?
No, I think it's the biggest concern right now.
Wow. Okay.
You know, but they were able to add Tim Huff to the cornerback rotation. And I think that's going to help a lot. Not that he's an All-American or anything, but he's got experience. and he's got attitude, which we noticed when we talked to him the other night. And I think you kind of have to have that at that particular position. You know, it's a position that requires a lot of mental toughness. You're going to get beat at times, and you have to kind of bounce back. So with him, Lorenzo Burns, and, you know, we're assuming Jace Whitaker is going to be healthy. I think with those three plus some young guys, they're going to be okay. I also think that since the defensive front might be really good, you know, they might be able to devote more resources into coverage, or the cornerbacks won't have to cover as long. So I think they're going to be okay there. Meanwhile, you know, as you mentioned, you know, who's going to play center? You know, who's going to play left tackle the first 2 weeks? They used Josh McCauley at center with the first team unit the other night. He and John Jacobs are a couple of walk-ons who the coaching staff, the previous coaching staff liked those two guys a lot. This coaching staff likes them a lot. But, you know, he's never started in a college game. I'm not even sure he's ever played in one. Conjol, I don't know what the case is for him to be eligible this year, honestly. He appeared in 5 games last season. Usually if that happens, you're not eligible the next year if you transfer to another FBS school. Maybe Stephen Bailey, the transfer from Glendale, will work his way up. I think he's kind of been running with the twos. I'm sure they would love for Conjol to be that guy if Eldridge is unable to come back. I just feel like whatever we saw the other night is just sort of the latest stage in their ongoing experiment to figure out the best concoction. You know, like how can we put this thing together? Who are the best 5 for the first 2 weeks? I don't think they figured that out yet, and I think they're going to use every single second over the next 3 weeks to try to figure it out.
Again, if you're just joining us, this is Michael Lev from the Arizona Daily Star talking about the Arizona Wildcats football weekend and some notes and details from their scrimmage on Saturday. But Michael, you mentioned Tim Huff, the UNLV transfer. Don't expect him to be an all Pac-12 kind of player, but, you know, he has intentions to start. And he told us on Saturday that, you know, Friday night that he wants to come in and be a guy that Arizona relies on and win some games. And you can also add in punter, Dylan Klump, really impressed us during the scrimmage on Saturday. The first punt was, oh my goodness, you and I were just in awe. Our jaws were to the floor because I don't think we've seen a punt that good in Arizona Stadium in about 3 years. And it was probably from the opposing team that had the good punt. So Arizona, while Jeremy Springer says that the punting competition is wide open, it looks like Dylan Klump might actually be that guy for the Wildcats.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they brought him in here for a reason, and that was to solidify that spot, which was problematic for them last year. You know, Arizona was last in the league in net and gross punting average.
Wow.
And those yards matter. You know, look how so many of these games in the Pac-12 especially are so close, right? I mean, look at that Cal game last year, 45-44, double overtime, comes down to the last play. I mean, that stuff happens a lot. So if you're giving up 7 or 8 yards, you know, every time that you punt compared to kind of what the league average is, that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
And you're bringing in a guy who has 2 years of experience at Cal. He averaged nearly 44 yards a punt there and did not have the benefit of the dry Arizona air or the elevation that we have here in Tucson. So wouldn't surprise me at all if he did have an all Pac-12, you know, kind of year. It's kind of tough when Mitch Wishnowsky of Utah is in your conference, my favorite player. no secret, my love for Mitch. Punters are people too. But I think having that, it just stabilizes things. You know, you don't feel like, so there were times last year, you know, where you're just like, maybe they should just go for it because the punting operation has been such a disaster. Another thing, you know, too, with that is they've got their snapper back. And they didn't have Nick Reinhardt for last year, and that made a big difference, too. I mean, there were times on field goals when Trevor Wood, remember, he was snapping at times.
Yeah.
Eldridge was snapping at times. I just think that whole operation is going to be better this year.
Absolutely. And we're looking at the first-team offense. Gary Brightwell who didn't play at all last year, he was actually installed as the starting running back, and J.J. Taylor was also mixed in, or J.J. Taylor was actually kind of held out on Saturday. So we didn't really see anything from Taylor, but Gary Brightwell installed at the two. What did you see from him?
Yeah, you know, I think the more we get closer to the season, I feel like it may be going to be a 50-50 type of deal with J.J. and Gary, and I think that would be just fine. You know, J.J. he's bigger than he was when he got here. He told us what the other day, that he was 160 pounds when he first arrived at Arizona at 5'6", and he's now up to about 185, but that's not a workhorse type of back. You want J.J. Taylor to get about 15 touches a game. Mm-hmm. And if Gary Brightwell is also in that 12 to 15 range, I think that's a good mix. They are going to rely a lot on the running game. Both of those guys are good receivers. You know, Gary spent most of last year working as a slot receiver, which shows you kind of the versatility that he has in his game. We've heard good things about him since the day he arrived. So you know, I wouldn't read too much into J.J. not being out there. I think it was kind of like how NFL teams handle running backs in preseason games.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, their years would go by and Adrian Peterson would never even carry the ball in a preseason game. And then he'd go out and rush for 1,800 yards in the season. So I think they didn't want J.J. to get banged up in what was a live scrimmage with tackling. Gary gets some good reps with the first team. And really, when you look at running back, that's one of the positions you feel really good about as far as not only the talent, but the depth.
All right, that is Arizona Daily Star writer Michael Lev joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at Michael J. Lev. He'll have some updates for us in the Arizona Daily Star from tonight's practice. Again, Khalil Tate is talking to the media, so you definitely don't want to miss that. Michael, thank you so much for joining us. Always appreciate having you.
Thanks for having me, Justin.
All right, take care. Now we're going to go ahead and bring on a guest that is a part of the Arizona Daily Star and a voice on the Wildcast podcast, and that is the one and only sports editor, Ryan Finley. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Always good. Always good.
Good. Week two, man. Week two. Are you you settling in? You enjoying this?
Yeah, so far it's been good. I mean, I've...
Awesome.
You know, I've learned to drink water consistently. That's one thing that this job has taught me, because...
Okay.
You never know, you know, sometimes you'll be talking and you don't realize, like, man, I haven't had a glass of water in like a couple of hours. I'm kind of parched right now. So one thing this job has taught me is hydration. Always drink water.
And you know what? If that's the lesson that you learn from your time hosting a radio show, I think that's good. Hydration is that's a lesson we all need to learn and follow. And living out here, that's huge. So what's going on?
Absolutely. Oh, man, you tell me what is going on. It seems like a pretty somewhat busy week. It's been kind of slow because we're still NFL, still have the preseason. Arizona is still under preseason fall camp. High school football season is about to get underway here in southern Arizona. So while things are kind of rumbling right now, it is still a pretty busy time of the year.
Yeah, you know what's funny is I was telling my wife last night, this is sort of the last slow-ish week of the sports year for me, I think, that things really do start heating up kind of starting Friday when there is a full slate of high school games. Then you start to get into, at least in our world, you know, the college football preview section. Then you get into, you know, really September 1st right around the corner. And then we are off and running until like May. So, it's exciting. You know, there's so much going on. There are so many question marks, I should say, with all elements of Tucson sports right now. I mean, from Khalil Tate and Kevin Sumlin to Bijan Robinson and how good he can be.
Yeah.
That there's so many unanswered questions out there that I'm excited to sort of get cracking and see what we've got. It's August and September are a lot of fun, I think, in our world. And you know, hopefully we'll have a good idea a month from now sort of who's good and who's not and get excited about some sports.
How long have you and your wife been married, by the way?
10 years ago, 10 years in May. How about me remembering that on the air? That's pretty good.
Excellent.
Yeah, we celebrate our 10th anniversary in May. It's funny. You know, she has a pretty good idea, I think, of sort of the rhythms of sports and things like that. You know, she is a sports fan. She is that U of A fan who thinks every official is out to get them. who thinks all that stuff. And so it's really funny, you know, like she'll wait up late at night when I get home from work on nights when I work late. And, you know, she'll wait up, and when I walk in, she'll ask me about some call. I kind of look at her. I was like, you're really worried about, you know, come on, sports? She goes, oh, my God. Yeah. So yeah, it's 10 years, and she's on board with all this sports stuff. Thank goodness, man. You know, you got to find somebody who can put up with your weird job and everything
yep.
else. So
mm-hmm.
She does a great job of that.
One thing my dad always taught me, he was like, in your profession, if you ever want to find a wife, you have to either marry a school teacher because
right.
cause they can find jobs anywhere. Or
right.
a nurse, because
ooh,
likewise,
okay.
they can find jobs anywhere.
Yeah, my wife is neither of those, but she does have regular hours, and you know I know a lot of your listeners here, Justin. You know, it's anymore nobody really works 9 to 5, right?
Sure.
We're always kind of working, but you know my wife keeps kind of a regular schedule, and especially now that we have kids and stuff, she is the one who is there. You know, to pick them up from school and all that. And, you know, it's funny. It used to be really exciting, you know, college football Saturdays. And now, you know, for her, you know, thank goodness for that. She's taking them to birthday parties and doing all that. And I'm at work feeling guilty. So, you know, it works out well there.
Wouldn't it be cool if one day your son or one of your sons, because you have three boys, right? You have an oldest son
three
and
boys.
Then you have two twins.
Yes.
So wouldn't it be cool if your oldest or any of your twins came up to you and said, hey, Pop, I'm going to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
Oh, my goodness. Wow, that is a good segue. That's a good way to get us back to talking about Arizona sports.
Yes.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it? You know, it's funny. I've been a Sports Illustrated subscriber since I was 6 years old. And even now, I'm in my 30s. Every year for my birthday, my dad gets me a subscription to Sports Illustrated.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so that's a very big deal for me and a huge deal for Khalil Tate and the University of Arizona. You know, he's the first active U of A player to be on the cover of SI since 1994. That was the sort of infamous rock-solid cover where they had Teddy Bruschi and all of those guys there. So, you know, that's 24 years. That's a long time to go without a sort of a current player on the cover. And that's huge. You know, for him, I think he benefited a little bit from the fact that it's a sort of a weak year in terms of superstar players in the West. As a regional cover, they needed a Pac-12 guy. To me, he is much more exciting than Justin Herbert or Jake Browning, even
yeah.
though somebody like Herbert might actually be like the number one pick in the draft next year.
Yeah.
You know, he's somebody who I think with a special season could put Arizona back on the map. And you know, it's funny. Zach and I would talk about this all the time, Justin. What really moves the needle nationally? What can change the perception of this program? And, you know, step one, I think hiring somebody like a Kevin Sumlin, I think gets people who wouldn't otherwise pay attention to Arizona, gets them on board. And then something like a Sports Illustrated cover. I know it seems sort of, you know, relatively small. And in this day and age, you know, would you rather have, you know, the cover of ESPN.com? You know, I don't think so. I think Sports Illustrated is a very big deal. That cover will hang, you know, 15 feet tall in the Arizona Hall of Champions forever.
Mm-hmm.
And for Arizona and a program that's trying to recruit kids to say, hey, you know, our quarterback just got on the cover of SI is a very big deal and may help move that needle
yep.
again as Arizona tries to get the next Khalil Tate to come enroll in school here.
You know, when I first saw the cover, and when they released it, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool because, you know, they say hand in the Heisman and he's
sure.
he's the nation's best quarterback. And they were kind of hyping him up like he is a guy that should be in the Heisman race. But, of course, when I first saw the cover, I thought it was just a cover. I had no
right.
idea there was going to be a story along with it.
Sure.
And usually whenever somebody's on the cover, they have a story along with it. I should have thought that. But when
right.
I read the story from SI, I started to digest, Khalil Tate is actually an interesting character off the field. He's taking sign language at
yeah.
U of A as his foreign language. You know, he has a purpose, has some kind of motivation for playing football and being so successful because his grandmother survived breast cancer twice. And,
right.
you know, hearing his background, you know, he has great parents and a great foundation. He comes from
mm-hmm.
Inglewood. He is just such an interesting character, and when you read this SI story, it really shows
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, when we talk about his motivation, I even go kind of bigger than that. He is every, every high school player who was told that he's not big enough to play a certain position in college, he's that guy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, everybody wanted him as a safety, didn't think that he could sling the ball good enough or was big, was tall enough to play quarterback at the major college level. You know, USC said, oh, you can show up, but you can play safety. All these other schools said, you know, we like you, but why don't you play defense? He is the guy who says no and bets on himself. And to me, that's really what makes the Khalil Tate story so interesting. The safe move would have been to go play at USC. Right?
Yeah.
99.5 out of every 100 kids in that situation would have said, yeah, I'll just go to USC for 4 years. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't. He said, no, I'm a quarterback, and I was raised to be a quarterback, and I'm a leader, and I want to lead the team from the quarterback position. And for him, you know, that move, that decision to come to Arizona, you know, that really could have fallen apart. I mean, if Brandon Dawkins doesn't get hit out of bounds last year against Colorado, you know, maybe we're not even having this conversation. You know, he didn't show up and all of a sudden, you know, be a superstar. He really had to kind of bide his time, and Rich Rodriguez kind of played him, you know, sort of despite himself, and then he showed up and he really started performing. When we talk about the Khalil Tate story, I think about all of the things that had to line up for him just to get that opportunity to succeed, and then for him to take it and run with it, it's incredible. And I think we'll find out this year. Again, you know, just how good he can be. I think he's already the most exciting player in the Pac-12. We'll find out this year if he's the best player in the Pac-12, and you know what? He just might be.
Again, this is sports editor for the Arizona Daily Star, Ryan Finley, joining us. Ryan, looking ahead at the Pac-12, yeah. We talked about this a lot. We did a whole podcast on breaking down the Pac-12 as a whole.
Sure.
And, of course, USC is going to be at top of everybody just because of the talent and the personnel that they've had. UCLA is an interesting factor just because they have Chip Kelly, and we always know that Chip Kelly has something up his sleeve. But you... like Utah in the South.
Yeah, I do. I think it's look, Utah is a team I think that is always fairly mature, a team that emphasizes defense and running the football. I think that their stadium, their entire home environment might be the most underrated environment in all of the Pac-12. It's you know, you're playing at elevation, it's cold, there are great fans there. They're going to have one of the best pass defenses, I think, in the league. They always have big guys up front. I just think that they're going to be really a formidable team. And I'm not sure there's anybody else in the Pac-12 South who is as well-rounded as Utah is. They kill it in special teams, and they do that every year. You know, they're good on defense. They're balanced on offense. USC is starting a freshman quarterback. You know, Arizona returns one of the worst defenses it's ever had. ASU has an entirely whole new deal going on with Herman Edwards. Same thing at UCLA with Chip Kelly. I mean, Chip Kelly's offense, you got to be in pretty great shape to run that offense successfully. I'm not sure UCLA is there yet. In a way, you know, Utah gets it, I think, because they're the most sort of well-rounded, mature program right now. You know, they didn't have to go fire a coach for going 4-8. They are stable. I think they know who they are. They have a nice little home field advantage, a schedule that lines up just like Arizona's does. It's very beneficial to them. I think Utah can win the Pac-12 South, and if they don't, I mean, it might be Arizona. I'm telling you, I'm not buying USC this year. I think it's a year too early for UCLA. In Colorado, I think Colorado's kind of right in the middle again.
Oh, man. Ryan Finley, always providing the goods on Pac-12 football. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. We always appreciate having you, and we look forward to seeing more of the content on the Wildcaster app and Tucson.com. Ryan, thank you so much.
Thank you.